We finished Sif Dalet. We finished Mishabura. We just had one or two points over here which you want to touch on in the Bir Alocha and the Sharat Siyun.
Somebody sitting in the middle, or
okay. So, just take a look first at the Bir Alocha. Your mouth will have a Gemara Malocha. So he tells you to look at that which he said. I should not accept the word as Bishul Latay. The issue of the tea. By the separate Dibur, she excels in sheet and acid. And sign of the Secha Kois, she shoys by Achashera Kham in the Secha. You should first put the hot water into the Kois, make the Kois a Klisheni, and then add the essence. So, Ryan would say for base mayor, Shekosav the Mikomokim, Ein Limchus Biara Cherim, Shenoisim Essence, Hatzoinen Mikoinem, Hakach Mara Mikvirishin, Av Shehu Yatzel Letizboi, Kimen Shemavosh. You cannot prevent people who want to be makel from putting the essence into the cup, the tea essence in the cup, and then pouring from the klirishin onto the essence. So you can't stop that. Why? Because even though it's a davar lach, which has cooled off, it was cooked once upon a time. And there is a shita which says that even a liquid which has cooled, since it was cooked once upon a time, retains the status of being cooked. So when you pour from the klirishin onto the essence, you're not doing anything because it's already cooked. Mio kol nefesh yachash la'atzma shel laras miklirishin goes matcha yatzal es boya hinsham. However, anybody who is a bal nefesh, which has any real concern about his neshama, we should not do that, because the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is that by a liquid which cools off, you say bishul does exist. So pouring from the klirishin onto the cooled liquid would be bishul, deraisa. And according to the Ramah, he says at least in a scenario which is cooled to room temperature, there would be a problem of bishul mirabonan in that situation. So it's either going to be also miraisa according to the Shulchan Aruch, or also mirabonan according to the Ramah. So you should not be doing that. Okay. Now a question which comes up is the following. So let's say I have a cup of I make myself a cup of coffee, whatever it is, or a cup of, let's say, hot water even, and I drink the hot water, and now at the bottom of the cup there's a few drops left over. I want to add some more hot water into the cup. Those drops have cooled totally, and we're saying right now that we have to be concerned that when you have a liquid which has been cooked, which has now cooled totally, it's considered bishul when you reheat it by pouring from the klirishin. So am I allowed to pour from the klirishin, the hot water from the klirishin, into my cup, which has drops of previously cooked, now cooled water in the bottom? So the assumption of the poskim is that that's mutter mikra din. You do not need to dry out the cup before you pour in again, because A, we put the minhag v'ashkenazim is we hold the mikra din, there's no bishul in that situation. It's already been cooked. It retains its cooked status. You cannot recook it. It's not considered cooking. And B, what you're doing is it's not your kavanah. It's not significant what you're doing. It's not a shear. So they assume that that's mutter. That you don't have to worry about that. But that there are some people which are machmer, mimikar, then you don't have to worry about it.
This would come up also if you use your klisheni as an intermediate. Then you can keep reusing that intermediate klisheni, not worry that there's stuff left at the bottom a little bit.
Correct. Now in the last point over here in the Shartin in Samach Dalet, he says, I pour hot water and then I add the essence in. So by adding the essence in, I'm going to be coloring it. She says, so why are we worried about the malacha of dyeing, which is coloring something?
Saveya.
Well, it's Tzviyalach in Lach. Shartin in Samach Dalet says, We're not worried about dying. We have an assumption in halacha that the concept of coloring something, dyeing it, doesn't apply by foods. It only applies by things which are used more professionally, but not for food. So there's no problem with tzviya when it comes to eichlin. But in a case where the essence is still warm, it's better to put the essence in first and then pour the hot water on it. Because the Mishnah Sharetzi and the Samachay, but if the Tov Yosef Shiara Hamayim L'Secha Essence, what is Bzeh Gam Das Achoshim Choshim L'Tzviya by Miyaris Tavash? By doing so, that's not considered Tzveya. If you have your water here, and it's clear, you add this tea essence and you're coloring it, so that's the problem with Tzveya. If you have the essence down below, you're adding water in, and it's not obvious that the water is being colored because it's just sort of being absorbed amongst the rest of the colors which are there, that's not also, that's not considered dyeing something. So that would be, therefore it's much better to, in a case where the essence is still warm, let's say for argument's sake, I would keep my essence, the container which holds the essence, I would keep it on the blech. So it's still warm. So according to the Ramah, once it's still warm, pouring, it's not considered bishul anymore. So it's better to put the essence in the cup first and then pour the hot water from the cremation into the essence. Okay. Sifhei. It's better to put the essence in the cup first and pour the hot water from the cremation onto the essence. It's not a problem with bishul because the essence is still warm. Yesh mishomer, sifhei. There's those who say the davar shenefa initzla, something which was not cooked with liquid, but rather was baked, a baked item or a roasted item. In bishlach hakach b'mashkev, afterwards on Shabbos, a person would then cook it in liquid. Yesh b'mishum bishl, even though I say that by a salad which has been cooked, the rule is ein bishl achar bishl. I'm talking about doing the same process of bishul twice. I cooked it once totally, and I'm cooking it again. But if it was roasted the first time, or it was baked the first time, so then you do say there is bishul afterwards. Vazalitin pass a fil b'klisheni shayatzel lettuce boy. Riesh matirim b'klisheni, eshekilam a fil b'klirishin. So according to the Mechaber, so now my bread is baked. I put the bread into the kli, so that's cooking it. But since bread is soft, and it's easily cooked, so not only is it also to put into a kli rishon, it's also to put it even into a kli sheni, which normally cannot be mevashel, but by a dover, something which is a soft item, kli sheni can also cook. So you can't put pas into the kli sheni. Some say, the Ramah says, some say that a kli sheni, the Mechaber says Yesh Matir B'Klisheni, the Ramah adds B'Klisheni, because they're arguing that not that pas can't be cooked, but that Klisheni is not Mavashu. That's not called Bisha. And then Yesh Mekilim Afilu B'Klirishin, then there are those who say even in a Klirishin it's Mutter, because this rule of Yesh Bishul Achar Afia is not true. The same way in Bishul Achar Bishul, there's also a Bishul Achar Afia. And therefore, the Ramah says, but the minig is to be machmer, like the first opinion, that you say yesh bishul achar bishul. So therefore, I should say that again. Yesh bishul achar afiyu, that something which is baked and then cooked is going to be problematic. And not only is it problematic to put into a kli rishon, it's problematic to put into a kli sheni as well. Okay, Mishaburus of Katan Mem. In Bishach HaKach B'Mashka, Vatlam Shenosana B'Kedeiro Kishim Es Basel Hashim Roitav, you put it into a pot where there's gravy. Dim Noistav B'Mashka Tzenonim Tebel Adiyesh B'Mishim Bishal Arvur HaMashka. If you put it with cold water, then you heat the whole thing up, so obviously there's Bishal on the liquids. So here we have the pot, the case, no, the case was that the liquid was cooking already. You added the pas into that where the liquid is cooking. That's the case over here. The only problem is you're cooking the bread. There is a problem with bishul. Bishul bishul. Da'afagav memal. Da'afagav. Then bishul acher bishul. But over yovish, we have a general rule that an item which is dry, a solid as opposed to a liquid, which is fully cooked, we say ain bishul acher bishul. We come back and yesh bishul acher tzli. But cooking something with liquid after it's been roasted is true. I feel a dying in Roseach, Machmas Tzli, even though it's still boiling hot because of the Tzli. So the Tzli process, as it were, is not gone, but there's a new act you're doing of you're adding a whole new dimension of flavor. It's a different type of flavor by cooking it into a liquid. That's called Yesh Bishel. Truthfully, this works all the way around also. If you have something which has been cooked before Shabbos in a liquid, roasting it on Shabbos is going to be also. Can also lead to endoverish and special eight till aged when he wrote. So I could have something where I cooked before Shabbos, it's fully cooked. So we said that you can't put something back on the fire on Shabbos. You can't put something on the fire on Shabbos, even though it's been fully cooked, if it's been off from before Shabbos. But if I have a fire going over here in the fireplace and I want to put something in front of it to heat it up, so that's not considered a place you normally cook. So it doesn't look like you're doing bishul. So if you could take away the derisa, the concerns, it's mutter. So it's been fully cooked, and it's a dover yavesh, so I don't care whether it's nistan or not. So there's no malachas derisa. You want to put it there in front of the fire. It's not, but they're also rabbanan, because it looks like you're cooking, because nobody cooks in front of the fire. You cook over the fire. You don't cook like that. So there's no problem with the rabbanan or derisa. But now the problem is that we're saying that the case, but putting it in front of the fire, there's no liquid involved. So that's going to be roasted. This item, which was fully cooked, it was cooked in a pot with liquid before Shabbos. So it's been fully cooked. But now you're doing tzli, you're doing roasting. So according to this opinion that we hold, there's bishul after tzli, there's also tzli after bishul. So I can't put it in the fire, near the fire. So any place where the heat of the oven would roast it is going to be problematic. So putting meat which has been cooked back into the tanner, so it's a dover yavish, it's fully cooked. There's no liquid over there to be a problem. So everything's wonderful. The problem is that there's no liquid when it's going to heat up in the oven, it's going to roast, it's not going to cook. So you, either way, you have a problem. If you put the liquid there, you have a problem. Then you're heating up the liquid again, which is by liquids which have dry, which have cooled. We say there's a problem. Bishul after bishul. If you put it there without roitzev, you end up doing roasting after bishul. So you shouldn't do that.
So in these combinations, there's no concern of mitzvah or rabba.
Some rabbis might make it out of the rice because it's lo nichalei, but it would not change the because it's not intrinsic in the case. Philly, maybe that'll I'll gabi kadeira hamav seconds. Now, I want to put it back into the oven. Zok the Mishnah Berurah, the sense now I'm not putting it in front of the fire, but putting it in the oven. So how can you put it in the oven? You have a problem of that goes under the umbrella of the Isser of Chazorah. You're taking something which is not the only hetter to put back something back in. Something back as if it was on the fire when Shabbos started, and at some point in Shabbos you took it off with intent to put it back. You're allowed to put it back. This case over here wasn't so. It was just there off whatever it was. A B. We back in Mishnah Gilma, we pointed out that there's a difference between a tanner and a kirayim. So I'm not sure over here was using the words in a very, very specific way or just a general way. But you're not allowed to do chazorah inside of an oven, period. The whole dinner of chazorah is to put it back on top of a kira. So I want to do chazorah on top of my blech, it's fine. There's no head to do chazorah inside of the oven. If I have an oven, which the heating element is still going. And I take the pot out. I take it out, it's fully cooked and it's still hot, and you know, so I have all the wonderful things, and I'm holding on to it, and I find some way to say, I'll cover the fire. You can't put it inside an oven. There's no heter to do chazar techatan. So come along, the Mishnah Berurah says there is a case. The case is if you put a kadeira down on the floor of the oven and you put it on top of the kadeira. So the issue of putting it back is because it's Mexican about it looks like you're cooking. Well, this is a very strange way to cook. you don't normally there in the you put things on the floor of the tanner, whatever it is over here, all of a sudden there's this pot sitting there at the bottom of the tanner, you're putting it on top of the pot. Like, what's that about? So it doesn't look like you're doing the ma'isa bishul, and therefore that would be mut. That's what Mishnah Berurah says over here. What's interesting is that the Mishnah Berurah before in Reish Gimel seems to hold that this heter of kedera doesn't work. So the people who Shabbos morning take a tray of chicken out of the fridge. On top of the left, they put upside down the baking pan, something of that sort, and then they put the tray of chicken on top of it. That's this heter kedera mahamasekas. That's what they're relying on. The Mishnah says over here, it's strong enough of a heter that allows you to insert it inside of the oven even. It's a kal v'chomer, it's going to be put there on top of the fire. The problem is the Mishnah Berurah in Reish and Gimel, which there, that's where it deals with the halachas of Shia and Chazara, is pretty clear that this does not work. So it's the in the letters in the Kol Kisei Chofetz Chaim, in the third volume, so they have letters from the Chofetz Chaim, from the Chofetz Chaim son, etc. And the Chofetz Chaim son writes over there that he wrote part of the Mishnah Berurah. Rabbi Shabur was assigned by his father, was assigned to him. And he wrote it, and his father edited it. And there's a few scenarios, which, for whatever reason, the edits wasn't whatever he, the Chofetz Chaim, left it as his son has written, even though it was not in agreement with what he wrote. Written. One of the examples he gave is this case that we're in Shin Yuches, the Kedera Mafsekas, which the Rav Arya Leib said was Mutter, and the Mishnah Berurah forwards, which was written by the Chofetz Chaim. Said it's also.
It was Rabbi Arieh Leib.
Rabbi Arieh Leib was Chofetz son. Yeah. So it's interesting, historical. Now there are other Mahalchim to answer that. You know, the Maisa, the Mishnah Berurah put it in. It's weird that he should put it in without any zecher. He has to have held that there's some way to differentiate between the two cases, and they attempt different ways to differentiate, etc. But that's what he says.
Inside the oven, it just looks funny. It's not even reducing the heat or doing anything.
Correct.
But that still is enough.
Right. Okay. L'chuli yam ain't sliach etzli. The davar shenitzam mutter li etzel ha'esh. I feel im nitzdanet. Something which is it's a davar yavesh. There's no liquid involved. It was roasted fully, so roasting it again is not a problem because ain't siach etzli. So if you put it in front of the fire, it's mutter. Actually, you kaveru to yosek neshal yam l'tchatus. Except as nitzad rabbanu, we don't want you getting it too close because then the person might stir up the coals. He's like so intent upon trying to heat this thing up, he's going to forget it to stir the coals. Gamal yedem agav karos atanur el yedei hefse kli reikonish atachtel kadesha lihei nirikim avushal v'ayin leil b'simin reish nagimel safei udim afiyah ki agav nadei afiyah acher afiyah. So there's no din of yachar fiyah. There is no din tzli after tzli, but there is a din of we're being makar for tzli after bishul, the bishul after tzli. Now, how or bishul after fiyah after bishul, vice versa. So how much is problematic? So the or it's so I have a I cook a stew. Or I cook chicken with potatoes, the way that with liquid, etc. Now on Shabbos this morning, I say, you know what? Let's serve the chicken. But the chicken already is dry. I sort of skim off the before Shabbos. I skimmed off the layer of fat and the liquid, etc. All I have is a piece of chicken. So Shabbos morning, I want to take it and put it on top of the chalom pot to warm it up. It shouldn't be cold. It should be warm. So it's the after bishul. It was cooked before Shabbos in a liquid. Now I'm roasting it. So the Taz says, if it doesn't assume afterwards the flavor of tzli, it's not called tzli. This chumrah of tzli after bishul, or Bishul after Tzli, or Afia after Bishul, or Bishul after Afia, is when your time you're finished in the second process, it has a different flavor than it had before. So that's what it's, that's what makes it a Melechas Machshev, is that you're changing the items. That's the problem. So if I put it in such a place that it to be a high enough temperature that it'll start tasting more roasted than before. Before it just tasted cooked, now it tasted roasted. That's where you have the chumra of tzli after bishul. I put it on top of my cholent pot, and it gets to whatever temperature again. It doesn't say, "Wow, ha, roast chicken." It doesn't taste like roast chicken. It tastes like cooked chicken, which is warmed up. So, that's the shear that we say that we're probably not. Is there also
the pass? I don't know about cooking, but I always thought it's the contact with the fire that imparts the flavor of roasting. So if it's on top of a pot, you know, not near the fire, how are you getting roasted? It tastes like roasted.
I'm sure if the temperature would be high enough, it would get a roasted flavor. I don't think that thing's the contact with you grill things in your oven. There's no direct contact with the fire, but it still has a grilled taste. Grill doesn't necessarily mean what we call barbecues. Right? Anything which is without liquid is called sleep. So now the Rambam added, so you shouldn't put, or the Mechaber said, you shouldn't put pas into even to a klisheni. There are certain things which, because of the delicate state, they can cook even in a klisheni. We're not familiar what those things are. Okay, so therefore, bread which has been baked, the hubraki which is soft, fill a klisheni, you cannot put even into a klisheni. It's not only pas. Once you're saying that klisheni is mavashal, anything which is potentially delicate and easy to cook. So it's not just bread which would be problematic. There'd be multiple things which would be problematic. Right. But then he says, in Siftes, we'll see that doesn't apply to spices. Some amount of klisheni. They say, no, klisheni is not mevashal. End of conversation. Some amount of klisheni. They don't agree with this whole concept. A bishul after a fee and a fee after a bishul. So therefore, even the klirishin is going to be mutter because it's already been cooked. Now, klirishin is not aleish. Aleish is not mutter. You can't take your cold, fully cooked chicken out of the fridge and put it on a pot over the fire. But you could put it onto a klirishin, which is not on the aleish because it's been fully cooked already. So now, even though before it was with liquid and now it's by itself without the liquid, they hold it on a problem. But the minig is to be the chachila, not to pass even a klisheni. Manogal is our parashain, loisim lechem, bimorik, shalot sholant, bikorashi klisheni. So you can't dip, you cannot dip your bread into the liquid of your cholent. So you can't put it into a klisheni. For sure you can't pour onto the bread from a klisheni. Some people add onions. They cut up onions and they add to the cholent on Shabbos. So it's only mutter. We're saying now it's love daf kapas. It means anything. It's a raw onion. So you have to question that a raw onion can cook in a klisheni. Therefore, you should only put it in after it loses its temper. Yatzaletis. the chenal. So if we're lechem, which already has been baked, we're being machmer, or something which is totally raw, we're sure you have to be machmer.
Oh, Dr. Cowper.
Because we don't know what's called soft that can be cooked in a cliche. Now, Bechol Shkain, Fimash and Neugen, Litin, Habsolim, the Secha Tavshel, Shudavar Gush, the body issues are Bezeh. So, Davar Gush is a whole new problem. Yeah, so, there's a concept in Halacha that even though we have the rules of Klerish and Klisheni, etc., that Klisheni is not Mavashel. But if you have solids in the klisheni, which are distinct and separate, they maintain the heat for longer. And a davar gush, we assume, is mavash even in the klisheni. So adding the psalim into the klisheni, he's saying, according to what we're saying over here, shemachar, because maybe you can cook it in the klisheni. And for sure, it's a problem because you have the davar gush, you have the hot potatoes and the hot meat, which can cook the onions. So you should wait until the whole thing cools down to under yatsa lettuce, but then add the onions. Yes, person. Some of the davar gush shemunah for klisheni dinner ke klirishin. There's some person who would say that a davar gush has a lach like a klirishin, even though it's sitting in a klisheni. The argument being, what differentiates a klisheni from a klirishin? A klisheni, so Tosis asked the question in Shabbos, why is it that a klirishin is mavashal and a klisheni is not mavashal? So Tosis says, because by the klisheni, klirishin, because it was on the fire, so the walls were heated at the same time the pot was. Because they were sitting on the fire, so the walls were heated from the fire. So the walls of the klirishin, as the pot is cooling off, but the walls which are hot, are helping to maintain the heat and the food is inside. The important klisheni, the opposite is happening. The klisheni, which was room temperature beforehand, is wicking out the temperature and cooling off the food stuff, which was the atzeletas. But so therefore, since it's in the process of leaching out the heat, so the food stuff in the middle doesn't have the power to cook. It's being drained of its heat. It doesn't have the power to then heat something else to cook it. So that explains why something which is davar rach or chayshish, because over there the time lapse that you need for cooking is so minimal that we have to chayshish that maybe it could cook it.
Davar what? Lach.
Davar rach. Something soft. Right. Now, so when I get the davar gush, so it's a solid, so liquid is a very good item to transfer heat. So the liquid goes into the walls of the pot, the walls of the pot dissipate the heat, etc. The davar gush sits by itself and keeps its own heat. So the davar gush can cook. We don't argue that. So comes Aruch HaShulchan and says that this chumra of davar gush only applies when it's not sitting in a gravy. Because it's sitting in a gravy, so the liquid will function as the vehicle to pull the heat out of the davar gush into the walls of the pot, just like any other cliche. So when are we saying that a davar gush is like a klirishin, even though it's in a cliche? It's a case where it's dry. It's a case where it's dry, the Aruch HaShulchan says. So then, it's a freestanding item. No, nothing's pulling on its heat in any effective way. So meanwhile, it's cooking the food. The presentation of the Mishabura sounds not like that. We're talking about a cholent which has davar gush in it that also has liquid in it. You're adding the onions in. That's the part of the flow the Mishabura talks about. It seems to be that there's the moruk inside of the cholent. Unless he said, now you need someone to cholent, there's no moruk in it. He should speak it out.
How do you translate gush?
Solid.
Gush is a what?
Solid.
Solid.
A solid?
Yes.
Okay. So, therefore, so if you wait till it cools off, So the morik, which is in your plate, has cooled off, but you might decide to take some more cholent. So meanwhile, if you've left these onions, raw onions, just chopped up, sitting there, arguing correctly so that it's no longer yatsa lettuce, but it can't cook the onions. But now some of the onions are sitting there when you add your second helping, which that is yatsa lettuce. So now you're dealing with the possibility of a derisa.
More soup.
What? So they make what's known as psha, right? So you take out of the ragla behemoth, you get out the gelatin which is there, and you make a gelatinous type of a food, and they serve it hot. That which some people take a piece of bread and they pour from the kibishin this concoction over the piece of bread, so you now have, you made your like base and you pour it over, and it looks very, you know, delicacy, fancy, etc. But that's very nice. But in Shabbos, it's a problem. Even if we. Even if you would put the food first and the pasta second, we have the Ramah says you should be machmer. Because the Ramah, the issues are bizarre. So, because we'll say there's a problem of bishul after a fiyah. Elim roitz alitin pas yamtin actually yeah yeah so let us put marks so only 8 years. To wait till it cools off below Yatsa lettuce boy. Or the other Yisha Vakaf Minak there Kadesha Tia Kara Bakishishi. Or the other Aitza is to use a ladle. The mind of a ladle is the pot is a Krivisha, the ladle is a Krishani, and now your plate is a Krishlishi. And that which your machra is like the Mr. Brewer, that means there's something called Dabur Rach, which can be cooked. In a klisheni, it's only in a klisheni, not in a klishlishi. Chazanish disagrees. Chazanish says that the Vorim Rachim will be also even in a klishlishi. There's no difference in a klisheni and a klishlishi. No intrinsic difference in a klisheni and a klishlishi. That being said, the Chazanish says, I don't agree with the Dib Dover Rach, more than beyond what's mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara mentions a few things, but this idea of expanding it to all these different things, he doesn't believe in anyway. He says, but if you do, you should ask for Kli Shlishi also. Okay, now, just one more point about ladles. So, there seems to be, there is a discussion. Yeridea, what's the status of a ladle? Does a ladle make it that the bowls are Kli Shlishi? We look at the ladle as part of the klirisha, and the bowl is only the bowl or the plate is only a klisheni. So I want to add some pieces of bread into my chicken soup. So Macharva says you can't add bread into a klisheni. So what is this? That is in my bowl of chicken soup. I have the pot on the fire, that's klirisha. Now it's sitting in my bowl, it's a klisheni, but I use the ladle to get it out. So the ladle counts as its own kli. My bowl is a klishlishi, called Mishabur, I can put bread in. If you tell me that I look at the ladle as part of the klirishin, so my bowl is a klisheni, that's the din of the machaber. You don't want to put pasta into a klisheni. So the person differentiate like this, that sometimes the ladle could be considered its own separate klisheni, therefore the pot is a klirishin, the ladle is a klisheni, and your bowl is a klishlishi. And sometimes we look at the ladle as just an extension of the original pot, and therefore your bowl is a klisheni. So what does it depend on? Depends on how long the ladle stays in with the klirishin. So we're just basically letting out quickly, so the ladle never really heats up. And the whole problem of a klirishin is that the walls of the klirishin add heat. as opposed to the walls of Klisheni extract heat, but the walls of a cremation add heat. So now I have to look at my ladle. Practically, what's the status? So it depends. If you leave your ladle sitting in your cremation while it's in the fire, bubbling in the fire, yes, it's part of the pot. It's the same equivalence as the rest of the pot. The ladle is a cremation. Therefore, your bowl is only klisheni. But I come afterwards and I stick it in, and I don't leave it sitting there while boiling, and all those the cauldron burn, right? So whatever the word. So if I don't do that, so then then the ladle is a klisheni, and your bowl is a klisheni.
If the pot is not al ha'esh, then the ladle can stay in, I assume. Eh?
Even if the pot is not al ha'esh, we assume that's a problem. So now the maisa, the minhag is to be makel on a ladle. We semach on the idea of a ladle because this whole chumrah is only a chumrah anyway. And ladle is a discussion whether it's effective or not. So we're not mukhdi machmer. So if you have a ladle, you should be good. I'm not sure of the following. You know, nowadays they have these ladles made out of like silicone and these type of things. I'm not sure what the status of those. They by virtue of they're not metal, etc. They don't heat anywhere near the way metal heats. That being said, in halacha, so we could argue that, but halacha does not seem this. I mean, they had kliyats, they had ladles, a kaf made out of wood. So we're differentiating between a metal one and a wooden one would be the same thing. It doesn't get anywhere near as hot as a metal one. It's not a good conductor. So that does not seem to be really accepted.
If the food is cool enough deep, can I assume it's not yatsa levis? Is that a legitimate rule of thumb?
Yes. So it's interesting that.
What if you eat it and it burns your tongue?
So,
I mean, you still ate it, but you got burned. So.
You normally did.
So yeah, it's a lettuce bow. I mean, the Chazal's lashon is that the hand, the natural instinct of the hand is to pull back. Which there's, the problem is that you know people develop a certain amount of immunity to heat. So
calloused hands.
You know, how does that work? How do you define that? You know, it's not each person has their own yatsa lettuce bow. You say, well, the average person. That's a horrible, a horrible definition. I just want to point out that that. We know our body temperature is 98.6.
For the average person.
So the temperature of your hand is much less than that. The temperature on the outer surface of the skin is much less than that. It's in the 70s. So when the person talk about the temperatures of 120, 115, 120 being outside, we say, well, it's only 15 degrees above body temperature. How could you have such a reaction to it? The answer, that's not true. Because vis-a-vis the hand, this could be 40, 50 degrees above the temperature of what the hand is used to. The temperature on the surface of the hand is much less than that. That's why a person takes a hot bath, the temperatures are not extraordinarily high and it feels boiling hot, right? Because you're discussing body the surface temperature of the skin, not of the internal temperature of the body. Let's finish off this Mishnah Berurah. If you want to add vegetables which have been raw, like onions or garlic, you need to make sure that it's cooled off below yatsa lettuce. So pouring on that from a klibishin would be problematic. Then he said, like we said before. Every person should be careful with pots, not to put it into klisheni, as long as the outside lettuce but. That's where the Chazanish agrees. Let's leave this chayyadim for tomorrow because it's own topic. Okay.